Welcome to Shoot First, Ask Questions Later, where we research the response of our past and review their relevance for today. This is your host, Moshe Kurtz. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Shoot First, Ask Questions Later. Today, we are joined by Rabbi Yaakov Wolf, and we are going to be talking about an interesting question that came to the attention of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, whether it is permissible to watch a surgery performed on Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Wolf is the host of the Shark Tank podcast, which focuses on the challenges and opportunities of being a Ben Torah in the workforce. He is currently learning in the Smicha Kola at Karen B'Yavne and in the Open University of Israel. It is a pleasure to have you with us. I know it's probably a little bit disorienting to be in the guest seat instead of the host seat, but I'll do my best to help you navigate through. Tell us why you chose this Shuv of the Yavetz we're about to look at, what the question is, and also I think it's our first Shuva we're doing from Rav Yaakov Emden, so you can let us know a little bit about Rav Emden as well.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for having me on, and I do want to give you a big shout out, Rav Moshe, for what you're doing. I think there are very few, or if any, podcasts in the Torah world that have this unique form of creativity in the podcast format, and I really appreciate that. I don't have problems with people recycling their shiurim and putting them on Spotify, but this is really a unique usage and creative usage, and so yashar koach to you for doing this. So I have been fascinated by the world of careers and work since I was a very young kid. Obviously, in our society, from the very young age, we're being asked, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I thought about that question a lot, and I came to yeshiva and had a bit of a shifting perspective on things. I joined the Kollel without any real plans for my future, and the pandemic hit, which sort of shifted what we thought we knew about the world of work and careers. So what is the Torah's view of work, the Torah's view of careers, these major decisions that we all are making throughout our lives with regards to careers? What is the Torah's voice on these issues? So that's how I came to start my podcast, where I interview B'nai Torah in the workforce and hear how they navigate the different values that drive them. And in parallel to that, what I've been doing is I have been researching a lot of the sugyas about how the Torah looks at work. So, you know, am I supposed to love what I do? Is working a curse? The Mishnah says, Ehovas HaMalacha, and Parshas Bereishis says, well, Adam Rishon was cursed with regards to his work. So all these issues are things that I've been working at unpacking. And this tshuva is part of that research. It comes on, this tshuva is part of that research, and we see some interesting clashes between the value of work and other halachic values. So if we want to try to understand what the Torah's view of work is, well, what happens when work needs coincide or conflict with other needs that are halachically valuable? So in this case, it's Shabbos. We have a case of Hilchos Shabbos where a student in the medical school of Gettenberg, I probably got that wrong, getting something.
Probably not Gettysburg, though.
I'm sorry?
Probably not Gettysburg, though.
Not Gettysburg, right? A German medical student named Rav Binyamin Wolf Ginsburg, not related to me in any way, sends a shaila to Rav Yaakov Emden, who I will introduce just briefly. He was a great Rav in the early and middle of the 18th century in Germany. He was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. And so he gets the shaila about medical students on Shabbos. He was asked about a specific question that the med students were expected to come on Shabbos and do a surgery or a postpartum dissection, a postmortem dissection of a dog on Shabbos. And the Shoal thought he had a few svaras to be makel and to allow himself to take part in this surgery where they were basically taking apart a dog on Shabbos. And the tshuva is a long, long tshuva. He goes into a lot of nitty-gritty about Hilchos Muktzah, Muktzah of the knives, Muktzah of the dog, cutting things, stripping things, measuring things, a lot of different things that Rav Yaakov Emden goes into in this very, very long tshuva. But what I'd like to focus on in the next few minutes is a very, very interesting section at the end. And then he has, at the very end, another interesting section, which I don't think the time will allow us to really go into, but we will talk about that as well. So again, we have this long tshuva about Hilchos Shabbos, about the permissibility of doing a surgery on Shabbos. And then we have two interesting sections at the end, one of which we're going to really unpack, and the other which we're going to reference briefly.
Right, just to clarify. So the question is not necessarily the performing of the surgery, unless, you know, there's pikuach nefesh right in front of you, and you're the one who has to do it. But the question is, the student, as part of his education, needs to observe how a surgery is performed. And they didn't have, I guess, Albert Einstein College yet, especially with the free tuition I hear that they're offering these days, to accommodate these things for Jewish students. So the question is, can he go on Shabbos? And by the way, this is a question you hear all the time about Jewish Orthodox kids who want to go into sports professions as well. And the question of, can they play the game on Shabbos? And they're trying to figure out all these different halakhic workarounds. But then there's kind of like that glaring overarching question about the spirit of Shabbos, which I imagine Rev Emden is also going to have to elaborate on.
Exactly, exactly. So the show I actually wanted to do this surgery, this dissection of the dead dog, and that's really the bulk of the tshuva. But then when I said at the end, it gets interesting, is when Rav Yaakov Emden goes beyond what was just asked of him about doing the surgery, and he says, not only can you not do the surgery, but you can't even go and watch the surgery. And I'll quote his lashon here. He says, Lachin, Ahuvi Kibni, the guy who I love as if my son, Im liata ulekoli tishma, if you're with me and you're listening to me, Amod mi neged, stand far away. Va'al teshev etzel ha'oskim imlechas hanituach biyom Shabbos Kodesh. Don't even go and watch. Why? Ki afilu bezeh yesh iser gamor machmas atzmo v'itzumo shel yom. So he's not super clear here, but he says something about the special quality of the day will prohibit you from going and watching on Shabbos. And then he goes on to say, this isn't just something that is usher for anybody. No, no, no. If your friends enjoy going and watching a surgery, that's great. Good for them. But for you, this is your profession and this is your trade. And he finishes off this paragraph by saying, Me'achar shekavanascha lilmod b'zeh histaklus v'ayun ulahasik al yedei kach yedias oso umnos davar ze iser mukhlatu be'enai mi'tamim hanal. So what's going on here? It's not super clear, but what I think is going on here is he is referencing an idea which is elaborated on very beautifully by the Ramban in Parshas Emor, based on the pasuk by Rosh Hashanah, where it says Shabbaton, where it says to make the day of Rosh Hashanah Shabbaton. It says the Ramban, the Torah is telling us, mi de'oraisa, there's an idea of being Shabbistic. So I don't know if you're like me, growing up in a modern Orthodox community, there was always the question, could I play baseball on Shabbos? Could I play soccer on Shabbos? Could I wear my shorts on Shabbos afternoon? I never asked that, but my friends asked that. So our parents always would tell us, well, is it Shabbistic or not? And we always thought it was just our parents doing, you know, doing their thing. But the Ramban actually says, no, this is a din d'oraisa, that Chazal used this to make certain gzeros to make sure the day of Shabbos was Shabbistic. Now, the Ramban inside, he actually focuses it not on baseball and soccer on Shabbos afternoon, but actually on work and business and mischar and shuk and all those things that I don't have the lashon in front of me right now. But that's really the thrust of what he's saying, that it's important to make Shabbos Shabbistic by avoiding matters of work and trade and professionalism.
Right. So I think it's an interesting distinction. I think he quotes the Rambam's psak, which comes up in the Shulchan Aruch against reading history books and newspapers on Shabbos. Though your distinction that you're bringing out from Rev Emden reminds me that I'll talk to people on Shabbos. Eschateni Maskir Hayom, part of my Onik Shabbos is reading the Wall Street Journal. But when I look at the business section, I am just a rabbi. I know very little about money. I just look for interesting articles to read for my Tainug. But many Baal Batim I know, they may be looking because they actually work in finance and they want to see how certain stocks have performed and they want the latest news. And that's actually the distinction that he makes in that paragraph that you quoted from. He says that some people are doing it derech tayinik v'til. They said, you know, they didn't have television. They didn't have a lot of interesting things to watch back then. So they said, oh, there's a surgery taking place. I remember as a kid, you know, so I grew up in the more yeshivish community. So whenever there was like a police officer who was parked outside of the shul, all the kids would go up and say, is that a real gun? Is that a walkie-talkie? You know, like they'd ask him all these questions and bite his ear off. So they didn't have much to do back then. They were pretty bored. And he actually says that, and he says, for the general populace, if there's a surgery taking place on Shabbos and they're watching it be done, I don't see any terrible things coming out of it. And if I don't know of any Isser, I'm not going to start digging around to Asser something that doesn't appear to be Asser for the general populace. But that's when it's for recreational purposes. But what you're pointing out here is he's doing it, I guess we could say the difference between watching TV on Shabbos, which has Avshe Milsa issues also of making noise in the environment, versus maybe studying my textbook for a test on Shabbos.
Yeah, what you're saying is absolutely correct. And I would just point the listener, if they want to unpack this a little more, the Yavetz actually quotes the Rambam two paragraphs later. And that is a very interesting Rambam in Perisha Mishnayos, an interesting halachic discussion about the Machlokas Rishonim in Siman Shin Vav. So that Rambam is a fascinating one and is also dealt with Rav Yaakov Emden later. So it seems to be here, he's specifically touching on another issue, which is more about the Kedusha of Shabbos, which is connected, right? We can not going to go down the rabbit hole right now, but he seems to say that this is about Itzumo Shel Yom. And he also, by the way, he makes reference to Mitamim Hanal. He sort of makes reference to earlier in the Tshuva. What he's talking about earlier in the Tshuva. So what I think he's actually referencing is something very interesting, and it's important to set this up before we go into the reception, which is that a few paragraphs earlier, he talked about measurements, taking measurements. So if you're taking out a dog and you're taking apart its heart and you want to measure how big it is, how much it weighs, all these things. So measuring is usur on Shabbos because of Uvdin Dechol is pasken by Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Vav. But Uvdin Dechol is not such a bad iser. It's not such a big deal. It's usur, but because it's only a lighter iser, so Letzorach Mitzvah is mutter. That's a Mishnah and also Paskin La'alacha. So maybe if you're taking measurements, Letzorech Parnasa, Letzorech getting your professional degree, maybe that's considered Tzorech Mitzvah. So there, Rav Emden says very clearly, no, you're not allowed to do anything on Shabbos that is for the purpose of your professional training. But you might ask, there's a Gemara that appears a couple times in Mesechah Shabbos and in Mesechah Ksubas on Daf Hey, which says that Mimtzo Cheftecha is an iser to deal with your own personal dealings on Shabbos, but the Gemara's medayik, cheftzecha asurim, cheftze shamayim mutarim. So what are cheftze shamayim? So I'll have the lashon here, I'll read it for you for one moment. It says as follows, V'tanu v'menashia, mishadchen alatinokas li'aris b'shabbos, v'alatinok l'lamdo sefer, u'lamdo umnos. So on the one hand, Rav Akiva said, you can't do anything to train yourself professionally on Shabbos, but on the other hand, the Gemara says, l'lamdo umnos, what's pshat? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, no. When the Gemara says Meshadchin, that's the name of the game. You're allowed to make Shidduchim. So that Shidduch could be between a boy and a girl. That Shidduch could also be between a teacher and a prodigy. And that, if it were just Stam, you can't do it. But because it's for Parnasa, and Parnasa is important, and we don't want people to go around stealing all day, so you're allowed, according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, to make a shidduch between a teacher and a student for the purposes of parnasa, but there's absolutely no heter, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He says, Chalila Lomar Kane, absolutely no heter to deal with any form of professional training on Shabbos. So that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden's psak. It is not Shabbistic. It's not appropriate. It's not okay to do anything that will train you professionally on Shabbos.
It's a tzarachian on rabbinic interns going to train on Shabbos, right? You had the broader question also, of course, of making parnasa off Lima Torah, which I'm sure that's a sugya that you will be addressing or have addressed in your Shark Tank podcast.
Yes, for sure. That's a big issue, but that's a whole nother rabbit hole, and maybe we could do a couple more episodes together. This is a lot of fun, and I'd love to do this some more. So that's Rav Yaakov Emden's psak, and he's even quoted Lahalacha. I'll just start going into
so before we jump into the reception, there are a few lines actually just from that piece in Shailas Yavetz that I thought were worth pointing out. So one is that you did mention the Rambam. It's at the end of the paragraph in my piece. He quotes him, Sha'asr Lomo B'Shabbos Afiyah B'Sifrei Chachma Ki Metoras Hashem Kol Yom. So this is fascinating because the Rambam is one of the big proponents of learning Sifrei Chachma and Torah Mada and all those nice catchphrases, learning about the metaphysics and the sciences. Nonetheless, he says, Shabbos is designated for Torah. Kal v'chomer l'islamei b'malacha asur bo b'lishum sabik. Well, certainly to learn about malacha, which is inherently an usur act that's taking place. And also what's very interesting is the beginning of that paragraph, Dibur Maskel v'od, he says, v'od sheyesh bo mishum gezeira shema yavo hadavar lidechil Shabbos b'malacha gemura. I'm not sure if there's a pre-existing gezeira. He kind of gives examples of different gezeiras, but it's almost like he's making how did you read it? Did he make up his own gezeira here that you can't watch a surgery lest you come to perform the surgery on Shabbos? Is he borrowing the lashon of gezeira? I find it fascinating. You know, just to give you an analogy, there's that whole debate about bicycles on Shabbos, which, you know, you have the issues of tchum, you have the issues of otzah, fine, but you have the Ben Ish Chai who controversially gave a heter for it. But then you see the Tzitz Eliezer, who I think even uses a lashon also of gezeira. There's a gezeira that maybe, you know, similar idea that you might come to take the branch off and hit the horse. We're going to make other gezeiras. Maybe you'll drive in the dirt and make a chritz. So is he making a new gezeira over here not to watch a surgery? I'm trying to make sense of what he's doing.
Yeah, I was not sure about that also. I don't have a great answer. The way I read it was that his main halachic prohibition is based off of Uvdin Dechol, which is the paragraph that we originally read. And in addition to that, he says it's really just inappropriate because you have to be careful of these things. And with all the malachas going around, you might end up doing it. And also the Rambam he throws in there, which is also, we don't necessarily paskin make our hadin like the Rambam. So I think those two things, the Rambam's shita of only Torah on Shabbos, and this idea where he says, be careful because there are so many malachos going on. I read those as sort of pieces of wise Torah advice, and the actual halachic thrust is really the Uvdin Dechol issue.
Right, which is also just fascinating that he doesn't actually invoke the words Uvdin Dechol, unless right. I missed it. Maybe I'll do a Bar Ilan check. Did you see? It's funny because that he doesn't even say the words Uvdin Dechol. Anyway.
Right, I'm introducing Uvdin Dechol just to be clear, is because I think it's the thrust of things, but also when he references back to earlier in the Tshuva, and earlier in Tshuva, he talks about Medida, and that's where I believe he's referencing back. So Medida is Uvdin Dechol, so that's where I sort of tie things together, but it could be there are other interpretations as well.
Right, it's a long Tshuva. I'm sure he's made reference to it. So, okay, so we have this more machmir, this more stringent psak of the Yavetz. And okay, so let's hear about how it was received by contemporaries or later poskim.
Yeah, so the Sha'ari Tshuva on the page on the Mishnah Berurah, it's Sifkat and Gimel and some of the prints. He quotes it, Lahalacha. He says, this is a psak, that you're not allowed to go and watch a surgery on Shabbos, Lamalos b'chachma sarafua. So you can't do it. Quotes the Yaakov Emdin, and he paskins it, Lahalacha. But there are multiple shitas that do not accept this psak, and I'm going to focus on two of them, and they both have very, very interesting directions that they take it, and very interesting applications, both halachically and ashkafically as well. So the first one is from a tshuva called the Levushei Mordechai. It's an Orachayim Tlisa Simen Chavtes. And he says that there's a sugya in Mesechah Shabbos on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah says that if you just hit on an anvil, a hammer on an anvil, you're Chayiv Achatas. And the Gemara asks, what do you mean? If there's no metal that you're actually banging on, what's the issue, Micah, of it? So the Gemara says, maybe, because you're practicing the motion, like a pitcher in the bullpen, you're practicing your motion to hit the metal. And maybe that's the yeser. Kashu beb ne rechava, elameata, chazo umnuso b'shabes v'gamar, hocha nami demachayev. Are you going to tell me now that even to watch umnus and to be able to learn that way is also a chi of chatas? Ella abai v'rava darmi travayu shekin marad din tasin mishkan osin kave, that it was part of the process of making the tasin for the mishkan is that they would hit on the actual tas, then they would hit again on the anvil just to flatten or to sharpen the actual hammer, but it was really nothing to do with the training aspect of it. So here the Gemara has a havamina that the training would be aser midaraisa, and it says no, it can't be. Now, okay, it's not Asr Daraisa, it's not a Chiyav Chatas, but maybe it's Asr Midrabanan. So the Levushei Mordechai quotes a Trumas HaDeshen in Chelek Aleph Simen Samach Gimel, who says very clearly, no, it's Mutter L'chatchila. Even though, oftentimes in Shabbos, when we say Pater, we're talking about Pater V'Asr, but the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Gimel says that with regards to a Davar She'imbo Maise, if it's just passive and I'm not doing anything, so Pater can oftentimes mean Pater U'Mutter L'chatchila, and even brings a Raya from other poskim as well, where the Trumas HaDeshen seems very clear that to watch someone performing a trade in order to learn would be Mutter L'chatchila, and the Levushei Mordechai goes on to quote another massive posik, the Magen Avram, Simen Shin Mem Sif Katan Ches. There, the Ramah says that you're allowed to trace letters in the air with your finger, and says the Magen Avram, even if you're doing it in order to train yourself to be a sofer and to know how to write properly, and you're practicing by tracing letters in the air, that would be fine, and Mutter L'chatchila. Now, it's interesting to note that the Mishnah Berurah limits this and has some quibbles with this, but in general, we see here from the Gemara and the Smag and the Trumas HaDeshen and the Magen Avraham. I think I mentioned the Smag. I'm not sure why. Could be he's quoted somewhere in there. But definitely the Gemara, based on the understanding of the Trumas HaDeshen and the Magen Avraham, that to watch someone do a trade in order to learn is Mutter L'chatchila. So that seems to be against what Rabbi Yaakov Emdin was saying. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin was saying that when the Gemara said you're allowed to Cheftei Shemaim is Umnos, Cheftei Shemaim Umnos is only to make a shidduch. But now it comes along the Levushei Mordechai and says, no, it's much broader than that. Anything which is done in order to train yourself for parnasa is mutter, is fair game on Shabbos. And wow. I think
of the college, you know, so what does this mean in terms of, you know, I have a test coming up, let's say I'm in college. I mean, I guess we'll get to the question. Who says I'm allowed to go to college to begin with, right? So I remember a while back, I looked at a machlokas, not machlokas actually, my mistake. Rav Moshe Feinstein has I don't want to say famous, because if someone doesn't know, it's not famous for them, but an iconic tshuva on cheating on regents. So I was looking at other tshuvos, also on the topic of cheating on what you might call secular exams, And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was through Menashe Klein or someone of that circle. And the question was, can I cheat on a college exam? And he says, it's usser to cheat. But I have a better question for you. What are you doing going to college in the first place? Right. It was just like gold. I was like waiting for that line to come up. There's certain chuvas like which I can rely on. You know, if I get like the chuvas von Huggis from Sternbach, there's certain personalities in the world of PSOC that you if you're looking for like a certain opinion, you know where to look for it. So I believe it was Menashe Klein. I have to check back my notes. So I wonder if there could almost be like a similar kind of question over here about Denny Postkim raises this question like, well, what are you doing going to college in the first place, a university to study these things?
So it's not just the postgame nowadays. Rebakov Emden in this tshuva does the exact same thing at the very end. And if you wait on a few more minutes, if the listener will bear with us for a few more minutes, we'll get back to it and touch on that a little bit. But it's not just the modern day Haredi postgame. It was even Rebakov Emden who, after this whole back and forth about Hilchos Shabbos, says, wait a second, who let you go to college in the first place? And we'll talk about an interesting point from there as well.
Okay. So, right. So, yeah, let's wrap up these the reception history over here and get to that. I like that. You know, as I said, I grew up in the more yeshivish velt. And I remember I went to like a gap year program, and there was they had like a thing called, I think they called it Vod or Bayit Cham. It was something of that sort. And I get there the first night, and the person who's leading, who's conducting, who's one of the Avreichim in the Kollel, says, you know, God willing, none of you should go to college. And if you do, why you? B'dieved, maybe. And I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into over here? I thought I was going to like a modern Orthodox institution. Anyway, so yeah, so let's wrap up the reception history and let's get to that point.
Yeah, so we have the Levushei Mordechai, who basically attacks the whole assumption about the isser of having professional training. But there is a psak from Rav Shlomo Zalman, which takes a completely different direction and says, professional training, we're not talking about professional training here. We're talking about medicine. Medicine is very, very important. And he says that a lot of the heterim that are found with regards to umnos can be expanded even much, much farther with regards to doctors and medicine. He's quoted in the Sefer Nishmas Avram in Simen Shin Zayin, which is an Or Chaim Sif Katan Vav, where he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who says that it's a mitzvah ka'avid to have the proper medical knowledge in order to be able to heal people and help people and save their lives. So therefore, to go and watch a surgery will be completely fine. And as I said before, it's a much broader heter. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even the heter of the Magen Avraham to go and watch an uman is limited. It's limited to doing it be'ofen aray. It's limited to doing it to not talking with the person and asking questions. But says the Rosh Shlomo Zalman, with regards to a doctor, all that is mutter. You can go on a permanent and intentional basis. You can talk to the attending surgeon and discuss the different issues with him, because this is medicine, this is important, and therefore it's completely, completely mutter and encouraged.
And that's an important point, which is many times when we have discussions about Torah Mada, Torah Parnasa, Torah and secular knowledge, there's a reasonable argument to distinguish between something like the sciences and certainly medicine versus the humanities, which includes literature and other things which don't directly benefit someone's life in the same concrete fashion that studying medicine and surgery would.
Correct. And you're leading right into what we're going to talk about in a minute, but I'll just point out before we swing into that last bit, which is that the Nishmas Avraham quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman as a letter that was written to him. Oh. But he adds that Baal Pet Rav Shlomo Zalman told him that a student who's not yet an active doctor maybe should be machmir, which is a very interesting distinction. But because you're one step removed from the actual healing process, he thinks that it's maybe less permissible. He calls it a chumrah. He says it was something which is added Baal Pet. So I'm not going to paskin for anyone here.
I do hear that distinction. I remember when I was learning at YU, so we were talking about the question, can a Kohen go to medical school? And you have the issues of Tumas Mace. So the argument is like, well, what do you mean? He's learning to save lives. Bikuach Nefesh is docha that. The answer is, it's only docha that once you are a doctor. But if it's a mitzvah right now for you to be a medical student, then by that logic, you, myself, all of our listeners, everybody should be chayiv to go to medical school, because then we'll learn how to save people's lives. So clearly you're not chayiv, it's not incumbent upon you until you actually have the knowledge and training. So maybe there's some kind of svara to distinguish between someone who already knows versus someone who just wants to get to that category.
Right. Do you hear the sound in my background here?
Not at all. You are good.
Okay, so That's Rishon LeZalman. Now, I was thinking to myself, how do we square Rishon LeZalman with Rabbi Yaakov Emden? Rabbi Yaakov Emden really attacked this as completely professional. He didn't give any of these heterim of going to medical school and making that giving it that special status, special importance. So is there a machlokas here? So I think there's actually no machlokas. And in order to understand a little better, you have to go to that juicy part at the very end of the tshuva, which you led me into before, where Rav Yaakov Emden says to this person who he obviously had a great love and affinity for, he says, hold on a second. Who told you can go to college in the first place? And he has a very long, interesting section, and we're not going to go into the whole thing. He first talks about, in general, the study of philosophy, which back then was part of medicine. He speaks about going to a secular university. He says, well, maybe the chachma is okay, but the atmosphere that you're learning it in is certainly not okay. And we know Chazal were very careful with all these gzeros that we shouldn't become like the goyim. So those are all topics which he goes into. But then he has a very important line. He says, look, college is really, really bad, but studying the sciences and medicine is not so bad, or maybe it's even okay. And he gives a couple reasons, one of which is based on the famous Rambam, that by understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, then you're able to better appreciate him and love him. And then he says, you're also able to help people. You're also able to help people by making them get better. But his lashon here is very important. Let me just find it 1 second. He writes as follows. He says, af im lefiha medume, even though it might seem that the true natural science is not with us anymore, so he says that the true science, the true understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world works and how to really heal people is something which we don't really have nowadays. We have some sort of weak imitation, and still, he says, it's still important, it's still a mitzvah, it still has great value, but that is how he frames the discussion. So I think the modern-day equivalent of what Rav Yaakov Emden is describing is, let's say you'd have someone nowadays who works for a pharmaceutical company, and they're trying to produce a drug that will cure cancer. So that's a very important thing to do, and I would highly recommend anyone who has the skill set to do that, to try to do that. But are we going to tell this person who has a 1 in 100,000 chance of getting that magical cure to cancer that he is able to start being makil on Hilchos Shabbos? Says Rav Yaakov Emden, absolutely not, absolutely not. So I think that when we put Rav Yaakov Emden in his historical context, and there have been essays written about this, he lived in a time where medicine was at a very interesting crossroads. It was 200 years ago, 250 years ago, the very early beginnings of modern science were starting to develop. There was still a very strong belief in alchemy. The various philosophical debates influenced how people understood nature and understood the body and understood medicine. So there was a lot of very, very interesting controversy and developments around the field of medicine in Rav Yaakov Emden's time. But the bottom line is that it wasn't a very trustworthy source of healing people and saving their lives. So if that's the case, says Rav Yaakov Emden, I can't tell you that you're doing some great mitzvah that's Docha Shabbos by going to see it on Shabbos. Is it a good thing to do? Yes. Is it helpful? Yes. But he was saying it's a very, you know, it's a long shot that you're actually going to use this science to help someone save their lives, because the scientific knowledge back then was so unclear, was so muddled, was so underdeveloped. So therefore, he takes his stance. Masha Einkein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, 250 years later, he completely trusted in science. He understood that most of what we have today is completely unbelievable and amazing, and we're so lucky to have such qualified doctors that can do such tremendous things. Mamash, like, unbelievable. We're sitting here now, and every day we hear of unbelievable things in the war in Eretz Yisrael, and the doctors are able to save lives, and medics in the field are able to save lives with all these different technologies. So Baruch Hashem that we live in this generation. But I think that there's really no stira between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden looked at the scientific knowledge of his day and says, I can't give you a heter of medicine and atzalos nefashos or anything of that source, of that sort. We can talk about professionalism and you're in a good field to be a professional, but I can't really give you any other heterim besides for professionalism. And that's his direction. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, nowadays, things are different. Medicine is a very important mechanism of atzalos nefashos, and therefore he's going to be way more makil than Rav Yaakov Emden.
I think that's a great point, which is the metzias. The facts on the ground that we're facing with Shlomo Zalman Auerbach versus Rav Yaakov Emden were completely different. But in principle, they could be on the same page. Rav Emden might be more lenient vis-a-vis what we're looking at today. And if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was living during the times of Rav Yaakov Emden, maybe he would be more machmir in that regard. So that's a very excellent point. In our last few minutes that we have together, is there anything else that we should know either about this general debate or just about the good work that you're doing in terms of the broader theme of Shark Tank and the message that we want to get from this tshuva?
So two things. First of all, again, I'm not passing anyone halacha lamaisa here, but I think that it's certainly true.
I'll clarify, we never do halacha lamaisa here on the podcast. So, but okay, I appreciate good. That.
But just to sum it up, the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and others are clear that Shabbos is a very special day, and it's obviously ideal to make Shabbos a holy special day as possible. I think that is very important, and we shouldn't be looking for loopholes necessarily. We should try to lean in to the Kedushas of Shabbos and appreciate the tremendous Matana Tova of Shabbos. I think that's something that people sometimes tend to maybe not give its proper due. And so, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says it. I'm not the first, and the Rambam, others, are much greater than me say it. So that was just one party note that the nitty-gritty of Shabbos are super important and super, super fun to learn, but that shouldn't let us lose sight of the broader picture of how special opportunity Shabbos is to learn Torah, to be with our family, to connect with Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's, I guess, one parting thought on this sugya that I think should be kept in mind and kept in the frame as well. And as far as Shark Tank goes, so look, I think that work is a very, very central part of everyone's life. Anyone who doesn't have a super rich great grandfather that left them with a massive Yerusha has to work. It's a reality that we all deal with. But I think that people, in my very limited experience, they don't necessarily dig deep enough into really understanding what it is that work means to them, what their values are with regards to work, how they fashion their life with their work that has its central place, but not too central of a place. So in my very limited experience, people don't necessarily dig deep enough to really understand. And by the way, I think also in the Torah world, we have these very shallow slogans about working, whether it's people who will just throw out, and therefore I should go and work my entire life until 3 o'clock in the morning. Or on the other side of the spectrum, people throw out these shallow slogans about that put down the value of working. So these are interesting sugyas, and I hope to unpack them a little more. I'm actually, Bezrat Hashem, launching the 10th episode of Shark Tank next week. But in addition to the interviews with the role models, which is the bread and butter of what we're doing, we're also working to develop some interesting content, which dives a little more into the Mar Makomos and to the Ashkafos and the Halachas around work. So I would love to have all your listeners hop on over to our feed and check it out. And hopefully those exciting things will be coming soon.
Definitely encourage our listeners to go out, go over and check out Shark Tank. The more Torah podcasts out there, the better. And, you know, you reminded me, I hope this doesn't fall to the category you were describing. I remember when I was learning in Shalavim. So there was a Rav Huttner that was brought to my attention. I think it was by Rav Yammer, who's now the Rosh Hashiva there, in which there was a letter to someone who felt there was a contradiction between his work life and his religious life. And he said it's about living a broad life, not a double life. And I think that's really what you're digging into, is to look at it holistically. I'm a ben Torah, no matter what context I'm in. And God should, God willing, give you the ability to be matzliach in your new podcast. And I'll make sure myself to hop over there and listen to some episodes as well. So shkoyach Rabbi Yaakov Wolf, and continue to hatzlacha.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Shoot First, Ask Questions Later. Please make sure to subscribe to get the latest updates. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate us and leave a review. Do you have a response to the response that you want to share on the show? Please send your letter to the editor to MitchellMKurtz@gmail.com. And God willing, we would love to consider your perspective to be shared on a future episode. This is Moshe Kurtz, and I look forward to reviewing more responses with you next time on Shoot First, Ask Questions Later.